Today's shiur is Daf Lamed, and we're going to begin on Daf Chav Tes on Beis, five lines from the bottom. The Gemara continues discussing food items that are used for Erev Tchumen, that the halacha is you have to put enough food for two meals. But the question is, when we say two meals, what do we mean? Do we mean that the entire meal is comprised of that food item? Or do we say that the meal is a meal, and this item would normally be served only, let's say, as a side dish? So when we say we have to put two meals worth, we have to put how much of this item would be used in two meals if I was serving it as a side dish, which would be obviously considerably less than using this food item as the entire meal. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, Kol Shu Liftan, anything that's used as a side dish, as an accompaniment to a meal, Kedei Lechabai, that the only amount you have to leave is the amount that you use at a meal. So let's say you use vegetables as a side dish, so it's not that your whole meal is vegetables, it's only how much you would serve as a portion at each meal. And Kol Shu Ena Liftan, something which is not used as a side dish, is Kedei Lechel Hamanu. The amount that you eat, you would have to have an entire meal made up of this food item. So basachai, raw meat, kedei lechol himena. The amount that you need to eat an entire meal made out of raw meat. All the Rishonim immediately ask, who eats raw meat? So they answer that when the Gemara here says raw meat, it either means meat that was very salted, so meat that, although it wasn't cooked, it was salted, so that's why it's edible, or it was cooked, but it was not completely cooked, and that's why the Gemara is still calling it chai, that's why the Gemara is still calling it raw. Right. Basat sli, what about roasted meat? Rava amar kedei lechol boy, the amount that you would eat as a portion of meat at a meal, double that, two meals. Rav Yosef amar kedei lechol imanu, as the entire meal is meat. Amar Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef says, no aminala, where do I get to this number, where do I get to this cheshbin that you should have an entire meal made out of the meat? The hani persoi, the people in persoi, achli dafki b'loi nahama, eat meat without any bread. They eat a meal, it's just meat. So that's why meat is an entire meal. So you have to count meat that's your entire meal. So amalei abaya, so Abaya asks of Yosef, or persoi have a rubida alma? So good. Maybe in Pras they had a lot of meat, they enjoyed meat, whatever. So they eat an entire meal, all they eat is the meat. But that's not the whole world. Vatanan, and the Gemara proves that we look at every area individually. The halacha is that a piece of material is susceptible to tumah. Most Rishonim, in fact, say that the Gemara here is talking about tumas medris, that we discussed, that if a zav, a zeva, a nida sit on something which is designated for sitting, it makes a tumah medris. How much of a piece of material is considered significant? Says the Mishnah, big de'aniyim, poor people who aren't so quick to throw out material, as laniyim, which the shear is three at spas. Big de'ashirim, the amount of material used by wealthy people is lashirim. That's the amount for ashirim. Ava big de'ashirim laniyim, loy. But the big shear is not good for the small shear. So what do we see here? That we look at everybody individually. Poor people is three etbas, wealthy people is three tfachim. So here too, just because in Pras they eat big meals full of meat, doesn't mean that the rest of the world should be subject to the same shear. Now Tosfos asks, why don't we say a simpler concept? We should say batel datel etzel kol adam, which the Gemara already said it. So Tosfos, and we said this mahalach here already, says that you don't always say batel daita etzel kol adam. Tosfos, and this is a very important concept. Batel daita etzel kol adam, where do we use it? By chazus. Chazus was grain that's not ripe. So Tosfos says the whole world has grain that's not ripe, but people don't eat grain that's not ripe. In Babel they ate it. Nobody else eats it, even though they could. It's available. It's just not something eaten. On the other hand, meat is available in the whole world. If meat were available in the whole world, people would eat a whole meat a meal. They just don't have that much meat, so they eat bread, they eat other items. And Pras, they had a lot of meat, so they ate meat. So you can't say batal daita etzer kol adam, because another person, given the same circumstances as exist in pras, would also eat a whole meat a meal. So that's not why you could say batal daita etzer kol adam. What can you say? What you can say is that the reason there's a problem here is because why are I, who doesn't live in pras, subject to the same rules as people in pras? Just like we see with Ashirim and Aniyim with the material, everybody has their own measure based on what they wear. V'chitem, if you'll tell me, hochel l'chumra, v'achel l'chumra. I always go l'chumra. So by the meat, it's a chumra to say that I should follow pras. That's why I say I follow pras. By the material, it's a chumra to say that I'll follow the people who daniim. So I'm always going with the chumra, but not that I'm always subjected to follow the locale or look at everybody individually. So the Gemara, it's not true. But Tanya, I'll bring you a raya that you look at everybody individually. Rav Shimon Elazar says, "Ma'av l'choy l'zaken, a sick person or a old person eats less. So how much do you have to leave for him for an erev tchum? Kedei mizaynoi, as much as he eats. Ula rapson, and for a person who eats a lot, but suda ben and shakal adam, you leave for him as much as everybody else eats." So the question the Rishonim explain is from the first part of the Braisa. The Braisa says that I look at this sick person, I look at this old, elderly person, and I only have to leave enough for how much he eats. And I don't say that since other people eat bigger meals, they should be subject to that shear. What do I say? I look at every person individually. Now the question is, why don't you ask from the second part of the Braisa, where it says that for a rapsin, for people who eat a big meal, the shear is to suda ben shakal adam. So the reason you don't look at that is because that's batal daita shakal adam. A person that just eats huge meals because he likes to eat a lot, on him will say batal daita shakal adam. So from him there's no raya. But the raya is from the zaken and chayla. Now there's going to be a very interesting child, the Max Veshekel asks. Why are we saying now that a zaken and chayla, we need smaller amounts because they eat smaller amounts? Ask the Max Veshekel, but you know, when a person gets old and sick, two things happen. Number one, he eats less, and also there's a lot of things he's not allowed to eat. So let's say you put an erev out of a food material that a zaken and chayla are not allowed to eat. So what do I say then? Do I say a smaller portion is enough because they're a zaken and chayla? Or do on the other hand I say, no, but they're not allowed to eat this item? So the Max Veshekel says you can't have it both ways. If you're going to put a food item that they're not allowed to eat, then you have to not follow their amount, you have to follow the amount that the rest of the world eats. Other Paiskim disagree. They say, since the halacha by an erev is that it doesn't have to be that I myself will eat it, as we learned and we'll learn in Mitzvah today in the shear, so even though he's not allowed to eat it, he could put the shear that he would eat if he were going to eat it. But what do we see from here? That we look at every person individually. Ask the Gemara, does Rav Shimon ben Elazar really say that we look at everybody according to their situation? The halacha is like this. We know that if there's a mace, rachmanas litzlan, in a house, the house becomes tamei tumas oil. But the mace has to be taken out of the house. So the halacha is that any entranceway that could be used, if we know, the Rishonim explained, if we know that a specific entranceway is, or exit is going to be used to take the mace out, that exit is tamei, the rest are fine. But let's say we don't know that a specific one is going to be used. So any exit that's dalot tefachim or bigger is tamei, because I don't know which one is going to be used. Begins the Braisa discussing this case. Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, Oig Melech HaBashan. Oig Melech HaBashan is the example we always give for somebody who is huge. A doorway of dalot tefachim will never get him out. The Pesach Kamalai. The doorway we identify as the doorway through which he will be exited, if he has to be moved out because he's dead, is the doorway to his size. So what do you see from here? That you always look according to the size. Vabaya tells you can't bring a ride from there. Of course there I have to look at every situation. Why do I have to look at every situation? Hey Chalev, what do you want him to do? Hadume na hadami v'nefke? Should we dismantle the dead person and take him out? Therefore, over there, everybody will agree we look at the situation. But that doesn't necessarily affect everywhere else in halacha. Ibailuhu. Nadigmar asks, Plig Rabban Alei Rav Shimon Lazar Alive. The Rabbanan disagree with Rav Shimon Lazar a lot. No, it's Tashm. They also agree that when you have a mace, a corpse the size of Oig Melech HaBashin, that we say there are different dinim. Tashma, Damar Rabba Bechanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Oig Melech HaBashin, Pescha Be'arba. His doorway is also Da'at Fochim. So it seems that the Rabbanan are disagreeing with Rav Shimon Lazar. Rav Shimon Lazar says that Oig Melech HaBashin should be treated according to his size. And Rabbanan are disagreeing. Says the Gemara, no. Hasam, the case that they're discussing is the Ikka Pesachim Ketanim Tuva. There are many small doors. Vikachad, the Havi Arba. And there's one that's 4 Tfachim wide. And then none wide enough to take him out. So what's the situation here? We have Oig Melech HaBashin in the house. Dead. We can't, no door is big enough. But we have to get him out. So Rabbanan say that which is the door we assume is going to be used? The door that's anyway 4 tefachim. We're going to have to widen it. We're going to have to expand it. But at least let's expand the door that's already somewhat wide. The vadiki kamavavach, if we're going to expand the door, who kamavach, we'll make the widest one. But that doesn't mean, says the Gemara, that the Rabbanan won't agree that if we already have an existing door that's wide enough to take out Oig Melech HaBashin, that only that door would be Tamei and no other door would be Tamei. Why? Because why should I assume that we're going to take a door that's too small if I have a door that's wide enough? So here we see that the Rabbanan agree, we look at every situation. Amar Rav Chibar Ashi. Amar Rav, Mabav and Basachai. You're allowed to use raw meat. Amar Rav Siba Chayyar, Ma'av and Bayim Chayyar. You could use raw eggs. The Kama, how many raw eggs? Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Sinai. Sinai Rashi explains to Rabbi Yosef, because Rabbi Yosef throughout Shas is called Sinai because he was a big bucky. Omer, he says Stein, two eggs. Hanoyim and Amaz Mutam Amayim. So we learned in the Mishnah that if somebody makes a nether, that he's not going to have anything that satisfies, salt and water are mutter, because they're considered, as we learned in the Mishnah, they don't give any nourishment. Before we begin the Gemara, we have to review a Gemara we learned in Masechta Brachos. The Gemara Masechta Brachos quotes a machloikus, what bracha, when do you make a bari minim mezonos? Rav Shmuel says that you make a bari minim mezonos on the chamishas minei dogim. The other man, Domer, says that bari minim mezonos is also made on oyer zedoichin, rice and millet. Says the Gemara, it says in our Mishnah, melech hamayim hu delo yikri mazon, that salt and water are not considered mazon. Hokamili, everything else, ikri mazon. Because the only thing the Mishnah says will not fall under the category of Mazon is Mayim Melech. Ask the Gemara, Lema to have it to Yuchta Rav Shmuel. She would say that our Mishnah disproves Rav Shmuel. Because as we just said, Rav Shmuel, the Amri Tavayu, Eim Mevarchim Bari Minim Mezoinus, El Al Chamish Sminim Bavad. That the only time you make a Bari Mezoinus is only Chamish Sminim. And here we're saying that Mazon includes everything besides Melech and Mazon. Now, Tosfos asks the obvious question. Because what does the other man Dama say? The other man Dama says, no, we don't only make mezoinus on the chameshus min adagim, we also make an ayres v'daychen. But there's a big world besides ayres v'daychen too. So the kasha is not only on Rav and Shmuel, it's a kasha on that man Dama too. So Tosfos answers, the reason it's only a kasha on Rav and Shmuel is because everybody, Rav and Shmuel obviously saying that besides the requirement that it should be Mazon, it should be satiating. It also has to be something that people are kaveya suda on. And that's why only chameshes min adagim people make as the main part of a meal. Or is v'daychem not. But the other mandama obviously doesn't require kaveya suda, because if he required kaveya suda, he would never let you make a bari mimazonis on the chameshes min adagim. Says Tosfos, nobody ever suggested that our Mishnah is telling us that there's no brach in the world besides the mazonis. There's no longer by Priyat, there's no longer by Priyadama, there's no longer Shahakal. Of course not. That's the Mishnayos and Masechta Brachos that speak about all these brachas. The point is that our Mishnah seems to say that you can't limit Mazon to something that Kaveh is Suda on. And Rav and Shmuel say that Mazon is limited to something you Kaveh is Suda on. That's why we have a Kashin Rav and Shmuel, not on the other Mandama, because the other Mandama also agrees that Mazon is not limited to something you Kaveh is Suda on. Ask the Gemara, V'loy Siv Nechad Zimna. We anyway disproved Rav and Shmuel in Masechta Brachos.
So what are you trying to accomplish? Says the Gemara, "Leim to heavy yiftin namiha." Yes, although Rav and Shmuel were disproven, perhaps our Mishnah is also a raya that they're wrong. Amar Rav Huna. So Rav Huna says there's no raya, because ba'omer our Mishnah is talking in a situation that the person who made a neder said kol hazonalai, anything that gives nourishment. He didn't say mazon. He said anything that gives nourishment. Ma'im amelach chudalai zayni. Water and salt don't give any nourishment. Hakomili, everything else, although they may not be a mazon, but zayni, they give nourishment. Says the Gemara, Vam Rabbi Bavachana, Kavazilna Basid Rabbi Yochanan Lamechle Peri the Gnoiser. I was following Rabbi Yochanan to eat these fruits of Gnoiser, fruits that grow by the Kinneret that are particularly good. Kavina Bei Meya, and we had 100 people with us, Ham Naktinel Kolchad Vachad Asara. Asara. Each one of us carried 10 fruits, so we should have 1,000 fruits. Ki Havinim Bei Asara, if we only were 10 people, each one of us carried 100 fruits, and 100 fruits have a maxiklus sana bat plus a soy. They held the barrel that holds 3 soy held 100 fruits. And he ate all of them. Vamish was son of the light Tom Lizuna. He said, "I didn't eat anything nourishing," which is a question, because our Mishnah just said that everything is nourishing besides water and salt. So why is he saying when he's eating the fruit that he didn't eat anything nourishing? Says the Gemara, he didn't say he didn't eat anything ziyuna nourishing. He didn't eat any mezayna, and like we're learning, that's very good, because fruits are certainly not in the category of mazayn, although they are in the category of zon, of nourishing. The Sayel Tshuva Torah Lishma says a very interesting thing. The shaila he was asked was, there was a Jew that was living in Tzfas, Talmid Chacham, sitting and learning, and he was told that there is a paradise, a orchard not that close, that grows delicious fruits, and he would like to go take from those fruits, but it involves Bittul Torah. He has to give up time from learning. Is there an inyan, is there an issue to go there? So he brings a proof from our Gemara that there's a specific issue, Shvach Eretz Yisrael, to enjoy the fruits of Eretz Yisrael. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan went out of his way to eat the Peres Gnoiser, because by eating the Peres Gnoiser, he came to be Meshabeach. He came to praise Eretz Yisrael, and there's a specific issue to be Meshabeach, to appreciate Israel. And how do you appreciate it? When you see that it has great fruits. In fact, there's a very interesting Mashah. The Mashah asks, we know that when the Meraglim came from Eretz Yisrael, they brought back the fruits. And the fruits were delicious fruits, the fruits that we're just learning about. So he says, I don't understand. The Meraglim were trying to say bad about Eretz Yisrael, and they bring fruits that are the most delicious, beautiful fruits that don't exist anywhere in the world. So that's how you can show Israel is bad. That's the way you show Eretz Yisrael is good. So Mashah says they said was this Gemara. They said the fruits are sweet, but they're not mazoin. They're not really nourishing. They're just very sweet. That's the way they said the Lashon Hara in Eretz Yisrael. Others say, has nothing to do with today's shir. Others say what they did was they brought Rimonim and Ta'anim, they brought the fruits, but they didn't bring any Chitim and Sa'arim. Now, wheat and barley are the basic food items. They say, yeah, they have great fruits, but the basics are missing. Says the Gemara, Amrav Hun Amrav, Shvu'a Shlo'ichel Kikazu, if somebody makes a shvu'a, I won't eat this loaf of bread, that loch is Ma'avin Laba. He's allowed to use it for an Erev Tchumim. However, he said Kikazu a lie, he says that this kikar should be ostomy, aim avon my body. Then you're not allowed to use it. So let's try to understand this. Why is there a loch that if somebody made a shvu that he's not allowed to eat from a loaf of bread, it could be used for an Erev? So Rashi says a few truths. One teretz is that we learned, and we will learn, that an Erev is really only supposed to be made, Erev Tchum is only supposed to be made with Dvar Mitzvah. You just can't make it because you want to walk for no reason to a different direction. You have to go there for Dvar Mitzvah. So we have a concept of Mitzvah Lav Lehenes Nitnu. And that's why, even though you made a Shvur that I'm not going to have enough from it, you still could use it for an Erev Tchum. Others explain that he's not using that, since he could give it to somebody else, his only Shvur was that I'm not going to eat it. But he didn't make a Shvur that he's not going to have enough from it. So therefore, he could use it for an Erev. So why is the halacha when he said kikazu alai that you're not allowed to use this for an Erev? So the way most mafarshim explain is because now he made an issa cheftza. The difference between a neder and a shvua is an issa cheftza versus an issa gavra. When somebody makes a shvua that I'm not going to eat something, it's only issa gavra. I'm not allowed to eat it. He doesn't say that the thing is inherently usur. I'm not supposed to eat it. For whatever reason, I made a shvua, I shouldn't eat it. A neder means that I said that this item is totally separated from me. I'm not allowed to have any anah from it. So if you're not allowed to have any anah from it, that's why it can't be used for an erev. Nesei, ask the Gemara a question. It says in a Braisa, Hanoda Mekikar, if somebody makes a neder that he's not going to eat from a loaf of bread, Marvin Bay. He's allowed to use it for an erev. My lav, Dama Alai. And yet, it says that you're not allowed to use it. So tomorrow, Loi. You know what that Braisa is talking about? It's talking about a situation, Dama Zu. But Enochanami, had he said a lie, it would be acceptable for an erev. Hachanami Mistabra, that's the case. Where he said, "Zu, not a lie." The Tani Sefer, it says in the Sefer of that Braisa, "Emesev is man shom shvu shle tamena." Because he made a shvu, I'm not going to have anything to do with this piece of bread. Av omar lie, but if he only would have said kikaz a lie, what would be the halacha? Hachinami, deim avim ba, it would not be allowed to used. Ask the Gemara, ihachi, if that's true. That as soon as if he would have just said shvuah shloach kikazu, he's allowed to use it. And if he said kikazu alai, he's not allowed to use it. It says further, adatani. It says in that brisa kikazu hegdish. If somebody said I'm treating this kika like it's hegdish, ema avilam ba. You can't use it for an erev. Why? Lefish ema avim begdashis. You're not allowed to use anything that's a hegdish for an erev. Why not allowed to use anything that's a hegdish? So this is a very important part that the Rashba says. Every food item we discussed in the Mishnah, there are food items that I'm not allowed to eat, but you're allowed to eat. So perhaps because you're allowed to eat it, although I'm not allowed to eat it, it's mutter for an erev. Hegdish, nobody's allowed to eat. Since nobody's allowed to eat hegdish because it belongs to Shemayim, that's why it's not usable for an erev. But the question is obvious. Why do I have to pick the case of hegdish? I could have picked the case of kikazu alai as an example of something that can't be used for an erev. Listen to the door. The madvar mamurim that you could use it for an erev. Domazu avul omar alai ema avin laba omlach Rav Huna. So Rav Huna says elamai kol heichad omar alai. So what do you want to tell me that even everywhere you said ma'avin elamai kol heichad omar alai, you want to say that whenever he says alai ma'avin kesheresha, because the resha clearly seems to indicate that differently, because what it's saying the ratio, hanodim and akikim avin labo. It's only in the situation of shvuah shlatamena. Says the mark, surim achsur avachitani. This is where you have to learn the Mishnah. Hanodim and akikim avin labo. The brisa. Hanodim and akikim avin labo. Bafila omar lai, even in the case where he says a lie, nasa kumayim shvuah shlatamena, and that's why it's mutter to be used. Ask the Gemara Mekamach and Kashla Rav Huna, because Rav Huna did make this differentiation between Kikazu Alai and Shvuah Shloi Oichel. Where does he get it from? Answers the Gemara, who dam Krebeleza? He's in a whole like Krebeleza. The Tanya of Eleza Oima, Shvuah Shloi Oichel Kikazu Ma'avin Laba, but on the other hand, if he said Kikazu Alai and Ma'avin Laba. So Krebeleza makes this difference, and Rav Huna is picking up on Krebeleza's Shita. Ask the Gemara, Omiyam Krebeleza Hachi, did Krebeleza really make this Nafgamina? But Tanya says in the Braisa, Zaklal, Adam Oisa Atma Ba'oichel Ma'avin Laba. If a person says, I'm not allowed to eat a food, this goes back to what we said before, that it was an Issa Gavra, then you're allowed to use it. Oichel Anasla Adam. But if he made the food prohibited to him, what would be an example? Issa Cheftza, Ma'avin Laba. That's the Tanakama. Rabbi Lez Oimer, on the other hand, Kikazu Alai, Ma'avin Laba. So what do we see here? The Rebbe Elazar demand on the holds that kikazu alai ma'avin laba, and we learned before that kikazu alai ain't ma'avin laba, and we're saying that that's Rebbe Elazar. And says the Gemara, try to know if I leave the Rebbe Elazar. There's a machlokes to know what Rebbe Elazar said. One man dama had Rebbe Elazar holding the kikazu alai ain't ma'avin, which is the way Rav Huna reported it. The other man, Dama, had Rebbe Elazar not holding that way, and Rav Huna did not have that version of Rebbe Elazar. An interesting shaila I saw is like this. What's going to be the halacha if Shabbos is Erev Pesach? And Erev Pesach, you're not supposed to eat matzah, right? So are you allowed to make an Erev Tchumen with matzah? So the answer I saw is like this.
Can you eat matzah Friday night?
Could you eat matzah Friday night? That's a good question, but you want to rely on the Erev. That's a question that when does the Erev have to be chal? Does that have to be there for the whole Shabbos? It's a good point. We'll talk about that later. But assuming that it has to be valid for the whole Shabbos, which is the halacha. So now the question is, could you use it? So the Paiskim say, and it makes sense after the Gemara we learned, it depends. If it's matzah that you would feed to your child, if your child was hungry, you'd give him this matzah, so then you could use it. If another thing, it's matzah that you sport, expensive matzah that you put away for the Seder, so obviously nobody would use it. It falls in, it's not the exact same, but it falls into the same category like a hegdish, you're not going to use it. So we learned in the Mishnah, Ma'avin l'nazir b'yayin, you're allowed to use wine for nazir, for an Erev, even though he's not allowed to drink wine. Says the Gemara, since we look at Beshamai, our Mishnah will not agree with Beshamai. The Tanya, Beshamai, I'm Ma'avin l'nazir b'yayin, you're not allowed to use wine for nazir, or Yisrael b'truma, you're not allowed to use truma for Yisrael. Beshilo, I'm Ma'avin l'nazir b'yayin, or Yisrael b'truma. Amlan Beshilo b'Beshamai. So Beshilo wants to defend its position, and it says to Beshamai, Iyatamoidim, don't you agree Shema'avin l'gadol b'yom kippurim, that you're allowed to make an Erev Tchumim on Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur we're not allowed to eat. So how could you use it for an Erev? So Rashi says, Taka, how does it work? Because since you're allowed to give a child to eat, so that's why you could use an Erev on Yom Kippur, even though we can't rely on it. So here Beis Hillel has a great proof that you could use a food, even though I can't eat it, it's still usable for me for an Erev. Now, but that depends if you would give the matzah to somebody else. Now let's think this through. Rav Shach in the Shas Tshuvas in his Seif Aviyazdi asks a great question. He says, why did Rashi have to say, you know why food is acceptable on Yom Kippur? Because I could give a child to eat on Yom Kippur food. He says, why? I should have said different. Rashi could have said something else. That if somebody's a chayla, you're allowed to give him to eat. Why did Rashi choose to say, because I could feed children? You could feed adults also, if they're sick, Rechman al-Tlan. So he quotes the Marcheshes. The Marcheshes explains that there's a difference between the way we look at, and it goes perfectly with the Gemara we just learned, there's a difference between the way we look at food on Yom Kippur to an adult versus the way we look at food on Yom Kippur to a child. Food on Yom Kippur to an adult is really usur. It's really like the matzah on Erev Pesach. It's muksa to him. Just what? The Torah says that v'shmatam lav shaseichem, that refuah comes before everything, and therefore he has to eat. A child to food, it's not pshat that the food is osur, but he's allowed to eat it because he's a child. There's no Yom Kippur for a child. There's no Yom Kippur to a child, as far as food at least. That's why Rashi chose to say that food is mutter on Yom Kippur to the children, not to the chayil sheyesh beis sakana. Amlam avil. So Beshamai agree that Yom Kippur we could put an Erev Tchumim, even though you're not allowed to eat. Amlam. So they still take their point. They make the point. Shem Shema'avim l'gol b'yom kippurim, even though he himself is not allowed to eat the food, the fact that the food is edible to somebody makes it a valid Erev. Cain, the same thing should be said, l'nazir b'yayin u'yisrael b'truma, that although maybe this nazir may not be allowed to drink the wine, maybe this Yisrael is not allowed to eat the truma, but somebody else can. Or Beshamai. So how does Beshamai defend itself? Answers Beshamai, hasam ikasuda ruimi b'yayin. Haka lekasuda ruimi b'yayin. So the way the Rishonim explain this is like this. They explain that the Erev doesn't take effect on Yom Kippur, doesn't take effect on Shabbos, it takes effect on the last minute of Erev Shabbos, or on the last minute of Erev Yom Kippur. And since in the last minute of Erev Yom Kippur, everyone's allowed to eat, and the Mefarshim explained it means even before Tosfos Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur is halacha, you have to add. So we're talking about the last moment before Tosfos Yom Kippur. That's when we want the Erev to be chal, and then even the Gadol is allowed to eat. So says Beshamai, I'm not relying on the fact that I could give it to the child. I'm relying on the fact that I myself could eat it, because when I want the Erev to take effect, I'm still allowed to eat. Says the Gemara, Kaman, according to whom will this explanation of Beshamai go? To look at Chananya. Chananya has a very, very chumradigger approach to Beshamai's position. the Tanya. Chananya Oimer, Kol Atzin Shabbai Shammai Loyoy Moidin Ba'erif. Beishamai never agreed to the concept of Erif. According to Beishamai, it's not enough that I should just go on Friday afternoon, drive over to where I want to leave the Erif Tchumim and leave something there. And even if it's a food that I could eat, according to the Chananya, won't be enough. I actually have to be there when Shabbos begins and be kind of Shvisa. It's not enough that I'm there. I have to have my whole house with me. That's the only way it'll work. If somebody was wearing black clothing when he made the Erev, he can't go now on Shabbos wearing white clothing, because those clothing weren't there Friday afternoon. Blavonim, if he was there with white clothing, because those clothing weren't there Shabbos afternoon. Amar Rav Nachman, Kaman, who's that Braisa? Rav Nachman, it's Chananya, he believed the Beshamai. At first glance, it seems to be Chananya, who requires that you be there with your clothing. And now the Braisa is telling us that if those clothing weren't there, it wouldn't do. Says the Gemara, that's not true. Ul Chananya b'shcharim hu d'lo yaitzei, ha b'levanim yaitzei. What are you saying? That if I'm there Friday afternoon, wearing my black suit, so at least the air will work, that I can continue going back there with my black suit. It should not work. Why? Because obviously I left my white suit at home, which I obviously own. And what did Chananya say? Ha'omar, he explained, I have to be there with all of my belongings. So it's not just that I can't go there with my white suit. The fact that my white suit wasn't there disqualifies, according to Chananya's understanding of Hashamai, the entire Erev. Because the only way it's an Erev is if I'm there with my belongings. Yeah, but I didn't have all my clothing there. I obviously left my white suit at home. So if I left my white suit at home, I didn't have my belongings there. And according to Chananya, it's not just what I'm going to wear. I have to have my belongings there. So the Ritva Taka says that even according to Chananya, you don't have to take everything you own. But at least your major things, your main furniture and your main clothing have to be there. And here you left a significant suit at home. That's why he reinterprets. Says Ir Bilvoinim, if somebody was wearing the white suit Friday evening, v'hotzuk l'shchayrim, and then on Shabbos he's wearing his black suit or wants to wear his black suit, apol veinim lo yaitzei. He's not even use the area for his white suit. Why? Kaman, according to whom is this? Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchanan yivalei beshamai, because you have to be there with your stuff. So now let's just summarize. We have here a number of shitas. We have actually four shitas. Chananya is a very chumadig shita. His shita is that the only way it works is if you're there with, and your main belongings, let's say it this way, and your main belongings are there with you. According to Beis Shammai, you could leave an Erev Tchumim, but it has to be something which is edible to you. According to Sumchis, which we're going to talk about in a minute, it's a nafka mina if it's potentially available to you. That's why he says ma'arvin l'nozil b'yayin, but not, he will not agree li'yisrael b'truma. And according to Beis Hillel, as long as it's edible to anyone, even though I may not be able to eat it, it's enough. That's why he'll say ma'avul noz b'yayin liyisrael b'truma on Yom Kippur. He won't have any problems as long as it's available to anybody. That's enough for it to be a legitimate erev tchumah. Says the Gemara, Simchas ayin b'chulim. Simchas Chananya is explaining Beis Shammai. They're understanding Beis Shammai. There's two pshatim in Beis Shammai. Simchas ayin b'chulim. So let's review what we learned in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, we learned two cases. One was l'nazir b'yayin, if you could use wine for another, and the other case was, can you use truma for Yisrael? So Chananya disagreed and said you can't use truma for Yisrael. What about wine for another? There Chananya didn't disagree. Chananya seems to hold that a wine would be acceptable for another. V'ilu l'nazir b'yayin le'polik. Regarding another using an erev made out of wine, he doesn't disagree. My tama, what's the reason? Because efshe the mitzvah nizurasei. Since the nazir could go to a chacham and say, I made a mistake in becoming a nazir, and if he'll say it and give a legitimate explanation, the nazir could be matter his nether and annul it, and he won't be a nazir. So he himself may be able to eat that wine, drink that wine. Says the Gemara, Yehoki Truma Nami. So let's understand Truma too. What happened? Somebody went and he designated the item as Truma. That is essentially a neder. It's a designation. It's a neder. But Efshur, the Micholei, he may be able to be shy on it. He'll go to the Chacham and said, I went and I made this food Truma. It was a mistake. I don't want it to be. The Chacham could be matter that neder too. Says the Gemara, good. He'll go to the Chacham and the Chacham will be matter the neder. So what's the fruit going to become? It'll be Tevel. So it's Osir anyway. So no matter how you slice it, it's Osir. Says the Gemara, yeah, he'll be shy on it. And the Chacham will be matter it. But it's harder than Tevra. It's still not going to be used because it's Tevel. Now Tosis points out, obviously, the only time you could be shy on the neder, on the Truma, is before you gave it to the Kayin. Once you gave it to the Kayin, you can't be shy on it. But he says, but the what?
Not
it's not yours anymore. I can't be shy on something that doesn't belong to me. But the Gemara's question, Tosis explains, is that the Mishnah makes a blanket statement that Truma that was designated already is Truma, according to Sumchus, can never be used for Neiriv. Ask the Gemara, why are you making such a broad blanket statement? Says the Gemara, V'lefresh lo m'makom acher. Let this fruit not be Tevel. I have to take off Truma Samaisris. I have a barrel of fruit at home, and that barrel of fruit I'll designate as the Truma for this fruit. Says the Gemara, L'nechshdu chaveirim litrim shlemen amukav. Chaveirim don't take off Truma only from the fruit that's in front of you. You don't rely on something that's not in front of you. And like the Rishonim explain, although the Lashon HaGemara seems to be like it's some sort of a frumkeit, L'nechshdu chaveirim, it's not a frumkeit, it's the din. The din is you're not allowed to take off shlemen amukav. Ask Tosfos that the Gemara Masechet Yevamos said the covered Shabbos, you are allowed to take off Shloim and Amukav. So why are you telling me that you're not allowed to take off Shloim and Amukav? The Gemara says the covered Shabbos, you are allowed to. So Tosfos answers that when the Gemara Masechet Yevamos says that you're allowed to do the covered Shabbos, it only means that when you want to have that food, the covered Shabbos, you want to eat that food, so covered Shabbos, you're allowed to take off Shloim and Amukav. Here we're not doing it if you want to eat the actual food. What do you want to do? You just want to use it for an Eris. There's no heter of taking off Shloim and Amukav, the covered Shabbos. The lifter shalom and name bay. Ask the Gemara, you're right. I can't take off from the barrel that I have at home. But I have food in front of me. Let me take off a little amount as the truma, and the rest will be the amount for the Erev. Answer the Gemara, the less beishura. The less beishura means that you have just enough for the shear of the Erev. If you're going to take off part of it for truma, you don't have enough left to have the shear of Erev. Ask the Gemara, or my pascha. So the way Ritva explains the Gemara is beautiful. The way we're explaining now, Sumchus' situation in Mishnah, where he says you can't use Truma, will be limited to a situation that the amount of Truma in front of you is just enough that if you take off any amount from it, you won't be left with enough, which is a very, very rare situation. So Sumchus in our Mishnah goes and makes a statement that a Yisrael is not allowed to eat Truma, and what's he talking about? This one in a million situation that you have so little food in front of you that if you take off a little, because Midaraisa Chita Achas Pateras is a Kri, you only have to take off a little amount and you'll be Yoytza Mitzvah Truma, and that's exactly what you don't have. Is that what Sumchus is talking about? Ella says the Gemara, Sumchus Sabal Karabonon, the Amri called Davashim Shum Shvos, Gozlov Benish Mashis. That everything that you're not allowed to do, you're not, what do you call it, Chazal Asad Benish Mashis. So ask the Gemara, if that's the case, we go back to our old question. Sumcha said that a nazir is not allowed to ask, and since you're not allowed to be mafresh trumas and maestris midrabanan, so you can't use that for an erev. So ask Taisus, you're not allowed to be shoyl neder on Shabbos either. We learned the Gemara at the end of Masechta Shabbos, was the last Mishnah. You're not allowed to be shoyl neder on Shabbos. So why did Sumcha say that you could use wine? A nazir could use wine because it could be shoyl neder, but being shoyl neder is also it's a shvus. So how could he use it? So Tosfos says that when the Gemara, we learned there, the last daf from Masechta Shabbos, that if it's a Tzoruch Shabbos, then you are allowed to be Shoyl Neder. So Tosfos says the way we're going to have to explain the Mishnah according to Sumchus is that the Nozer wants to actually use this wine on Shabbos. And since he actually wants to use this wine on Shabbos, that's why he's allowed to be Shoyl Neder Bein Hashmashes.
Or maybe
no, that's not called L'Shoyruch Shabbos. That Tosfos says. Using it L'tzarech Erev is not called L'tzarech Shabbos. L'tzarech Shabbos means that you want to use it for a Shabbos meal. Says the Gemara, Taman Azal Hada Tanan. Like, who does the following Mishnah go? Yesh Amar Hakol Fi Misha Adam. Everything depends on your size. The halach is, we know, when a carbon mincha is brought, you have to take off a kaimitz. What's a kaimitz? Kaimitz is a fistful. Malay mincha. The kaimitz is taken, it depends on the size of your fist. On Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol took a fistful of k'tiris. Also depends on the size of his fist. The shayis of Malay Ligma of Yom Kippurim. On Yom Kippur, cheekful is the amount you're not allowed to drink. It depends on your size of your cheeks. Over Mazen, shtei siris la'erif. And by Mazen, it has to be also according to your size, depending how much you eat. Says the Gemara, command, Amrav Zera, Simchasi. It's gone like Simchas. Dama may the chazir le'be'inim. Simchas just said that you have to put an erif, something that I myself could eat. Says the Gemara, Lema pliga Rav Shimon Loza. So we say that Simchas is arguing Rav Shimon Loza. The Tanya of Shimon Loza Aymer, Ma'avin l'chayil l'zakin, k'day m'zaynay. They were allowed to put a erif for ill person or old person. We learned it on an aleph according to what he eats. Olarafsin besud b'neinus shel kolodom. And for a rafsin, we give according to the normal size meal. So what do we see? That we go according to the person's size. Says the Gemara, Tirgma achoyel v'zaken. On the contrary, Rav Shimon Loza holds that we look at everybody's size. And that's why by achoyel v'zaken, we put it down an erev according to their size. Aye, so why by rafsin shouldn't he have to put down a big meal? Like we explained in Amman Aleph, of Rafson, there is a concept of a bottle dieta to call Adam, and that's why, even though he normally eats a big meal, it doesn't count. We learned in the Mishnah, Ulkayim Vebesa Pras, that a Besa Pras is a place where a grave was plowed, that you could put an Erev there for Kayim, even though Midrabban and the Kayim is not allowed to walk there. Don Rav Yudam Shmuel, Menapach Adam Besa Pras Voilach. That you could blow, you could walk in a Besa Pras, and just blow in front of you and walk. Why? So the way the Rishonim explains like this. If there are any big bones, you'll certainly see them. If there are any small bones, then they'll become visible through your singing. Through blowing. A base of pras that completely got plowed up from people walking in a tar. And that's why any bones that might have been left there are certainly less than a sa'ira, and there's no problem with them. So the way the Mefarshim, the Machlokes Rishonim, how to understand this Gemara. Some Rishonim say that if a Kohen's Erev will be left in a base of pras, it'll be a valid Erev, but it'll have to blow as he walks in there to make sure that he doesn't walk over a bone and become Tameh. Other Rishonim say that since, as the Gemara finishes off, a base of pras is really Tahor. Why is a base of pras really Tahor? Because any bone that's there certainly got dismantled, got crumbled to less than a Sa'ira. Chazal wa machmer. Where were Chazal machmer when it's not L'tzarech mitzvah? However, since, as we explained, that an Erev Tchum is always put down L'tzarech mitzvah, so L'tzarech mitzvah, Chazal waived their requirement that there's any problem in a base of pras and allowed you to put the Erev there, and the Kohen could just walk in there without even doing the Ficha.